This message entitled Hope, Christmas Style, was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on December 3rd, 2023 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren, Jr. The scripture reference is John 1, 1-18.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received the grace, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
All right. Hope. Christmas style. Hope. Christmas style. Father, I want to thank you, dear God, that your truth is abundant here in this time and place. And all the way through this gospel, dear God, help us to see just how this is John's Christmas story. It really is the Christmas story in the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. We want to thank you. Open up our hearing, open up our understanding to truly receive what you have, dear God, for us in this time. Hallelujah. Help us to see. Help us to see. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It was a number of years ago, probably goes back, I'm guessing, even into the 70s. That there was a TV show called Love American Style. Now, those of you that are a little older than our youngest ones here, you might remember that. What it was a whole array of well-known stars acting out skits and sketches about how they perceived, or the writers perceived, or somebody perceived, love to be, and the hope that it can bring, that the love can bring the hope. Praise God. Well, I think it would be a lot better for us to go ahead and focus much more on what God has to say. I think we'll find it to be far more accurate than what a bunch of actors came up with and famous comedians and so forth came up with regards to what hope is, Christmas style. I think we need to get into the Christmas story itself. See, that's the thing. That's what I said last time, that you can go to the Christmas story, any of it, Luke, Matthew, John, nowhere does it mention about hope. Now, the idea of hope is all through it, you understand, but H-O-P-E is not. Okay? And so what we did is last Sunday, which was what I call Thanksgiving Sunday, we don't have that very often. Sometimes Advent starts right after Thanksgiving, so you don't even hardly have that Sunday. But we did this year. We had that, and we had a whole week afterwards before we come up to this Sunday, which is the first Sunday of the Advent season. Anyway, I have in the past liked to focus on being thankful on that Sunday. And that's what we did. We took a look at the idea of hope, and specifically the word hope, and where it was first found in the scriptures. You go to the Strong's, you'll find way at the top of the page the very first use of hope. I mean, there's other things like hopefully or hopeless or things like that. I don't know if there's any of that before there, but the first place for the word hope was from the gospel, or from the book of Ruth. And that's what we took a good look at, I think, last week. Okay? So we got to see what hope was in the scriptures. And it's not just a wishful thinking. Now that we're getting into the winter season, we don't want to say, oh, I hope it doesn't rain. We have a tendency to say, I hope it doesn't sleet. I hope it doesn't freezing rain. I hope it doesn't snow. But that's just wishful thinking. You're not going to cause it to happen just by going, I hope this and I hope that. But God is going to explain and show us even today what hope really is, Christmas style. Christmas style, okay? Praise the Lord. I think we'll find it to be a lot more accurate than Love American style as to what hope and or love is really all about. Anyway, hope, Christmas style. We saw the general concept of hope. Last week we went back to the gospel, or I keep wanting to say the gospel of Ruth, but the book of Ruth from the Old Testament, and saw how God put those people together, you know, the Naomi and the Ruth and Boaz and all of that, and brought it all together and developed a family line. You know, I mean, then Ruth becomes the great grandmother of King David, okay? And then several more generations pass, and then she becomes the great, 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 whatever, how many greats, I don't know exactly, of Jesus, grandmother of Jesus, establishing Jesus coming into this world. Praise God. So a general concept of hope we saw clearly through the book of Ruth. But now we want to actually take a look at the Christmas story. And I specifically decided to use the Gospel of John to do that, okay? And granted, most people look at it and they don't, well, what do you mean Christmas story? There's nothing about Christmas in here. Yes, there is. If you'll have eyes to see and ears to hear, you're going to see and hear Christmas all through this first chapter, okay? Not the word Christmas, okay? But you're going to see it. Praise God. The actual word hope does not present itself in the Christmas story. I know that seems kind of odd. That seems kind of like, are you sure? I mean, come on. Certainly it's in Luke. Certainly it's in Matthew. You know, hope would be there. No, it's not. It isn't. It does not present itself in the Christmas passages. But it is all through the scriptures. Okay? And I think that just might be the point. And let me say this clearly. I'm trying to make it clear, but I'm not always knowing that I'm being clear. God has purposely not used that word. So hear me now. God has purposely not, I believe that's what he's doing. I think he's got a plan here. This is all on purpose. This is not haphazard. God has purposely not used that word in speaking of the birth of his own son so that we will be able to see in everything having to do with Christmas. You'll be able to see hope in everything that has to do with Christmas if you leave the word hope out of it. That's what I'm trying to say. And that's what I think is, I think, pretty clear. Because you would think it would be there. By the way, you will not find love in the Christmas story either. Now, we're not going to go back through and spend 1 week on first place love was used in the Bible and then go to the Christmas story. We're not going to do that. We're just going to plow right in, okay? But I think this is on purpose. That when God had the writers of the scriptures and the translators of the scriptures come up with what was going to be, first of all, in the Latin, but then translated into the English years and years and years ago, God on purpose left hope out of those scriptures so that we would be able to see hope in everything else. Because otherwise you're just going to see it when you see H-O-P-E. And I think God wants us to see it in every aspect of the Christmas story. I'll just suggest to you that I think that's true. Let me illustrate this. There was a man who was riding home from work just before the new year was about to begin. It was getting pretty close. And he was listening to the radio in his car. And the dial was tuned to a talk show where the host was interviewing a marriage counselor. And the guest suggested that a good way to put the pizzazz back into a relationship, especially at the start of the new year when everything is perceived to be a fresh start, it's, you know, it's new, you know, coming into a new year, and we're not too far from that ourselves, actually, was to do some unexpected act of kindness. Some people nowadays, what do they call that? A random act of kindness? Isn't that what they call that? This isn't so random, though. He listed off a few things you could do. This guy heard him, and he went ahead and copied it. Went ahead and did what the guy had said. So what were these things? Well, among the suggestions were a bouquet of flowers, a box of candy, and a little formality. Okay? A little formality. Okay, not just day in and day out as life goes, but something a little bit more classy. So he arranged for all three that evening. He got the flowers, he got the candy, and when he got home, he decided to not go in the back door from the garage as to where he normally did. And he walked around to the front of the house, went to the front porch, and rang the doorbell. Okay, little formality, okay? Now, this arranging for all these things on the way home did make him a little late in coming home that night. So he rings the doorbell, and when the man's harried wife, now, I'm not saying she was hairy, okay? I'm saying she was rushed, okay? Running to the front door, whipping open the door, okay, yanked open the front door and saw him standing there with this silly smile, okay, extending the bouquet in one hand and the candy in the other hand, she blurted out, "Well, this is just great. This is just great. After a day like I've had here today, Junior got suspended from school because he talked back to the teacher. And that's not all. Susie fell down the basement steps and knocked one of her front teeth loose. Not to mention, the baby is sick, the washing machine is broken, and the commode overflowed. And to top it all off, you come home drunk." Now, hear this clearly. He wasn't drunk. She just thought he was, because it was so weird. You know, flowers, candy, front door, doorbell, showing up late, you know. That was her take on it, that he was drunk. I do believe somebody completely misunderstood. Okay? Now, perhaps they both did. Okay? Perhaps they both did. And that's not usually a good thing, especially as the new year was just around the corner. He's trying to have kind of like a fresh start, you know? All right, it's almost the new year, and here's some flowers, and here's some candy, and a little formality by ringing the doorbell, and so forth, and then she has a fit. This husband had hoped that his actions would have impressed her, but I guess that was nothing more than wishful thinking. So, please don't confuse that with hope. I've said this more than once over the past few weeks. It's crucial, okay? Hope is much more than we in our culture think it is. For our society, like I said, hope is, I sure hope it doesn't rain today, or I hope it doesn't snow today. But hope is much more foundational. Now, do you know what I mean by foundational? It's like a house that's got a foundation under it, and it's going to remain standing because it's on this either cement block foundation, or in my case, my house is so old that it's a stone foundation. And I look through Worthington, and I see numerous houses that have that stone foundation, and that's known for being solid, okay? I did notice, however, that on the addition to our house, that's way over on the other side by the office, which is, there's a crawl space under there, so you know it's an addition, that they put the, that's where the laundry room is, that's where the other bathroom is, etc. Boy, are we getting a couple of gaps in the bricks that are underneath the house. I mean, we're talking about like this big of a gap between, you know, the bricks. So, but the stone foundation, okay, and probably most everybody's cement block foundations, or in Jason, in your case, cement block hunks. You know, the whole wall is a hunk, and the whole wall is a foundation, okay? Solid. Foundational. That's what I mean by foundational. Okay? It's real, it's true, and speaking spiritually, it's of God. Okay? So, let's go ahead, and if you're already there in that first chapter of John, that's good. But if you're not, get there, okay? Because this is what we want to look at. Let's turn to the first chapter of John's Gospel to see this. And as I said, the actual word for hope is not in here. However, it's all through it. It's all through it. And because it's not actually there, it's prompting us to see hope in everything else. So you're not just looking for the four letters. I hope you get a handle on that. I hope you see that. I think that was on purpose. I think God did that so that you'd see the depths of what he's trying to say and not just be looking for the four letters. Okay. God's making his point with the whole story, not just the four letters. So it starts out like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In arche ho logos, that's the Greek, in the beginning was the Word. Now, do you see yet how we can see this as John's Christmas story? Because the Greek word for word is logos, and literally It is something that has been, this is what it means. This is definition right out of the Strong's. It has been set forth, that is laid out. Okay? Something that is laid out. It's not been created. The Word did not get created. God didn't pick a particular day and invent the Word. The Word was always with God in the beginning. That's what the Bible says. So it didn't have a beginning and it doesn't have an end, and neither did God. All right? I know in our worldly understanding that doesn't make any sense, because everything had a beginning. You all have a birthday, you know, and, you know, school started on a certain day. School will end on a certain day. We have beginnings and we have endings. Okay? But when it comes to God, there are no beginnings and there are no endings. He always was and always will be. So he's not been created. The Word always was, right along with God himself, always was. And this Word is the Christ. Okay? That's the anointed one. That's who Jesus would be. Now, Jesus, you remember, let's not be confusing here, but Jesus is the human being that was born miraculously, of a virgin, Holy Spirit and Mary, boom, Jesus. Okay? Second person of the Trinity is this Christ. So when Jesus comes and he is full of this second person of the Trinity, then he is Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. It is not his occupation. It is not a job. Okay? This is who he is. He's Jesus the Christ. Okay? All right. The Christ has been incarnated, that is, has this human touch, so to speak, but it's a sinless human. It's a holy human being that has been placed inside this Christ, if I could be that literal with it, and now he's Jesus Christ. Okay? It is interesting that another part of this definition is to break the silence, and I think that's important, to break the silence. You see, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was about 400 years of basically nothing. And what I mean by that is God on purpose was quite quiet. He didn't send a bunch of prophets. He didn't send Jesus till the end of the 400 years. Okay? On purpose, he stayed pretty quiet. He purposely didn't spend a lot of time trying to direct people one way or the other. Oh, he was there if you wanted to know, and he would go ahead and show you different things, but there was a lot of silence in that 400 years. It's called the intertestamental period, meaning it's in between the First Testament and the Second Testament, the Old Testament and the New Testament. There were 400 years. No prophets. Nothing really. And through that, I believe it was God's plan to bring people into a place where they would see their need for divine direction and would basically be begging for it. And that's true. When you get to the Christmas story, you find people waiting for God's direction. What about Anna? You know? What about Simeon? They waited for the voice of God. They were waiting for God to show this way, that way, go this way, take a right turn, take a left turn. Right? Okay? And that would come when Jesus came. And what we see in all of that is, can I say it? Hope. Christmas style. Christmas style. See, it wouldn't just be shepherds, not in John's gospel. Oh, it's not that they didn't exist, and it's not that they weren't there, but John's purposely talking about something else. And you'll remember that the scriptures are purposely inspired by God to say a certain thing. And God did not want John talking about shepherds and angels. It would, because he's got other places. You can go to Luke and read that. You can go to Matthew and read that. Okay? All right? It wouldn't just be shepherds and wise men and all that who would see their need. The whole world would at least begin to see that Jesus was the answer. Okay? Remember now, God's being pretty quiet. During these 400 years, God's not talking a whole lot. He wanted to get people to a place where they saw they needed for God to talk. They needed for his direction, which would come through Jesus. Okay? Now, a lot of people even today don't see that. They don't want to see that. And one way or the other, however, they will. It might be too late by the time they do, but it says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things of earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you're beginning to see what I'm talking about. I'm just going to say you should be. You should be seeing. Beginning to see. Can I say that much? Beginning to see what I'm talking about. Because God is showing himself little by little. You know? He comes to Mary and he says this. And he comes to Joseph and he says this. And he comes to Zechariah and he says this. And he comes to Elizabeth and he says this. Little by little throughout the Christmas story, he is showing that Jesus is really what it's all about. So, Dr. Donald Stamps, the late editor of the Full Life Study Bible. Late, by the way, means he's passed. He passed a number of years ago. Okay, it doesn't mean he couldn't keep track of his time, and he was late. Okay, but he was the editor of Full Life Study Bible. Now they call it the Fire Bible, and he put it this way: in using this designation for Christ, John presents him as a personal word of God, and indicates that in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, and that he alone is the manifest wisdom of God, as well as the perfect revelation of the nature and the person of God. And just as a person's words reveal his heart and his mind, Christ as the Word, W-O-R-D, as the Word, reveals the heart and the mind of Almighty God. Okay, that's the foundation. That's the groundwork. That's you know, you dug the footer, you put in the cement block, or you put in your case, the walls, you know, and you're ready to go up. Okay? What is this one's, this Jesus, what is his relation to Father God? Well, first of all, he's pre-existent. That is, Jesus didn't just, you know, or God didn't just, at one point or another, create Jesus or create the Christ and put him into the picture. No, he was pre-existent. The scripture specifically states that he was there at creation and that nothing was created that was created without Jesus. Now, we don't think of that. We generally think of, you know, God the Father creating everything, and then Jesus went on the cross and he redeemed everything and so forth. But John's gospel makes it clear that the Christ has always been around. Now, I'm not talking about Jesus. Jesus wasn't born till Bethlehem, right? But Jesus was filled with the Christ. And that Christ existed, that second person of the Trinity existed since before the beginning of the world. All right. Okay. He is pre-existent with him since before creation. And in fact, was integrally involved in that creation. Having the same nature and the same essence as the Father, Jesus Christ is therefore divine. Part of the Godhead. Jesus Christ. Right? Second person of the Trinity. Verse 4 of John's Christmas story, John's Christmas account, goes even further and goes even deeper at the same time. Look at verses 4 and 5. Okay, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In the Greek, this life refers to something that is alive. Now listen carefully, because I'm going definition time here. This is what it says. This is what it's talking about. Okay? Refers to something alive by itself, not dependent upon other sources. It does not use the word psuche, spelled kind of funny like P-S-U-C-H-E, psuche, enveloping the idea of breath or soul, you know, the life that's within causes the eyes to open and close of the newborn puppy, etc. You know, it's not talking about that. That's not the word that's used. Suggesting something that can just arbitrarily be squelched, be eliminated, crushed even. I can't remember who I was telling, but I saw a video one time of somebody, they had evidently run over a baby deer with the car. And they got out right away, and they got down on the ground, and they got looking under there, and it was still alive. And so they reached down, the woman, she reached down, and they videotaped this whole thing. And reached down and grabbed it by the leg and pulled it out little by little. Had to be very careful with it because it's just a baby, okay? It's just a fawn. And so brings it on out, and it's screaming. You don't think of them screaming, but it was screaming, you know? Ah! And it brings it out, gets it all the way out. And you can hear the husband telling the woman, let him go, let him go. You know, and lo and behold, at that very second, that very moment, they put the camera up a little bit, and here comes the mama. Here comes the mama coming for the baby. You better let that baby go. Okay? You bet, because that mama can hurt you if she wants to. Okay? And all, so she lets go of this deer, and it takes off, and it goes over to the mama, and they go running off together. And evidently, the baby was okay. Maybe scratched a little bit. I don't know. But it made it. It was alive. So it's not this psuche. It's not this picture of breath or, you know, the eyes opening and closing. You know, the life that's within. Because that's what animals and people have in common. Okay, there's a life. There's something in you that causes you to be able to move and have your being and your eyes move and your breathe and your organs do what they're supposed to do. That's life. Animals have that. People have that. That's not what this is talking about. Jesus would live his life in the hand and in the heart of his ever-loving Father. It's not the word psuche. Okay? It's a word that has to do with a life that was provided. Those are very cute, Lily. Some kind of sunglasses she's got on. It's just strange. But anyway, true and genuine life is embodied in Christ. His life was the light for everyone. God's truth, God's nature, God's purpose, God's power are made available to all people through him. Never forget this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means you and 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 you, everybody, whosoever means he's not just picking out a few people. He wants everybody. Whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So, the whole plan of salvation was designed to let the light of Christ shine even in an evil and a sinful world, which has obviously been polluted by Satan and his hatred for God and his hatred for God's ways. While it is true that currently the majority of the world has not surrendered to his life or to his light, the darkness has not mastered or won over it either. Because the Bible says it can't comprehend it. It can't master it. In fact, by definition, this comprehending is a matter of taking hold of it eagerly, very paralambeno. Grab it, okay? Grab it. It can't do that because it's far above the ways of the world and the ways of Satan. It can't comprehend it, okay? It can't comprehend what God is doing. It's a matter of taking hold of it eagerly, seizing it, and possessing it. Christ illumines every person, now listen, who hears his gospel by imparting a measure of grace and understanding in order that that person may freely choose to accept or reject that message. This is true for each and every one of us. We can submit or we don't have to. You're being called to, but everybody's got free will. Certainly you can feel this hope just washing all over you, no matter your specific circumstances. It is hope, Christmas style. About halfway into this text, and I want you to see this. Just look at this. About halfway into the text, we're almost done. About halfway into this text, we find both the acceptance and the rejection of what God is trying to do here laid out. One or the other, it's your choice. First, the possible rejection of this Christmas presence. Remember, I'm not talking about packages under the tree. I'm talking about Jesus being there for you and for me. He is present. Okay? Look at verses 9, 10, and 11. I want you to see this. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the, watch this, and the world knew him not. The world knew him not. And he came in unto his own, and his own received him not. This received is a very strong word. It's paralambeno. It's to associate with oneself in any familiar definition or relationship. Okay? So there's your first setup. There's the possible rejection that you can do if you want to. But then there's also the acceptance. And this we find in the next two verses. Okay? That was 9, 10, and 11. Look at the next couple of verses. But as many as received him, now this is the acceptance half of it, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In fact, it's all of God. It's all of God. Our part was the response to all that he did. See, there's where a lot of people don't really make the distinction and see it carefully. God is the one doing it all. And he is the one giving it all. It's our part to receive it. Okay? It's not really, this thing called Christmas is not really all about us. It's about God. It's about God and his hope, his love, his peace, and his joy. A little later on in the chapter, in verse 18, we find this. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Christmas is all about him and not us. It's something being given to us, and we can go ahead and receive it, or like we saw in those other two verses, we can reject it. But Christmas is all about him. It's not really about us. We are seeing him in and through Jesus. You know what we're talking about here? We're talking about hope. Christmas style. So, this Christmas, hear him being declared. Don't count on the stores to do it. Don't count on the parties that you go to do it. Don't count on the sales that you might run into to do it. But by the church, the true church, including ours right here and now, this declaration, by definition, is, watch this, is not something hidden or to be ignored. This is part of the definition. I'm not making it up. This is really what it is. It is out loud. It is very loud. It is, in fact, as rehearsed and graciously unfolded. That's part of the definition. Amen? A.W. Tozer, he put it this way. This is what he put in the paper this past time. Now listen carefully to what he says here. And I'll close with this. Listen to this. Were there even one datum of knowledge, however small, unknown to God, if that were unknown to God, God's rule would break down in that moment. Even just a little speck of something God doesn't know, it would all fall apart. And all hope would be lost. To be Lord over all creation, he must possess all knowledge. And were God lacking one infinitesimal, tiny, little tiny thing, modicum, little piece, little, hardly able to even see it. If God were lacking even that little tiny piece of power, that lack would end his reign and undo his kingdom right now. That one stray atom of power would belong to someone else. And God would be a limited ruler. And hence, not sovereign anymore. In other words, all hope would be gone. Because so would our God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. We want to thank you this day that you are the only one that can give us hope. And even today, you are giving it Christmas style. I want to thank you, dear God, that there isn't anything lacking in you. There isn't even a little tiny speck of power missing, because that would end your reign and undo your power, undo your kingdom. That one stray atom of power would belong to somebody else. And God would then be, you would then be, Lord, a limited ruler and not sovereign. All hope would be gone because you would be too. And I want to thank you, and I think we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts, from the top of our hearts, from the back, the front, the middle, the inside of our hearts. We want to thank you that none of that is true. You are Lord of all. And I want to thank you, dear God, that we can put our faith and trust in that. And today, even today, we can see your hope. And I thank you, Lord, that it is Christmas style. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Praise God. Amen.